Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now describe a little bit about Gokul Mahavan. Before I forget the name of the place and its meaning, Chittaharan is a place where Radha, where Mother Yasoda came after she looked inside Krishna's mouth and saw the whole cosmic manifestation inside him. Did you know that? Did you know? Yeah. She became very bewildered. So she came here to offer prayers to Lord Shiva to take away her bewilderment. Chittaharan. So we're going to, finally, before we go back to our place at the temple this evening, visit Brahmandagad where that last time took place. In general, where we are is Gokul Mahavan. The whole is one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Sometimes it's called Brihat Van. Brihat meaning great. Or Mahavan. Mahavan, Brihat Van. Because it's so huge. Vast, vast, vast forest. It is said, even on the other side, because we're on the east side of the river Jamuna. From here to Mathura is about 8 miles east of where we are. It is said that during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to do Brajmandal Parikrama. From the place where our Krishna Balaram temple is to Govardhan Hill, it's about 23 kilometers. There was such a dense forest that you couldn't see the sunlight just walking through the forest. Can you imagine? Very, very dense forest. But exploitation of resources and greed of people changed all of that. But on this side, Brihadvan or Gokul Mahavan, vast, vast, vast forest, and it's a place where the royal family, then Nanda Maharaj, but when he was, so his father was Parjanya Maharaj, and Parjanya Maharaj, as we already described, he had 5 sons and 2 daughters, the elder son being Upananda, Nanda becoming the next king. And his 2 daughters, they were Sananda and Nandini. Everyone has Nanda in their name. Sananda and Nandini. All of the sons had children except Nanda. And this gave Parjanya Maharaj big concern. So he began special offerings and worship of Lord Narayana so that his son Nanda could also have a child. After some time he had a dream, and in his dream he was told that his son Nanda would have a very, very qualified son who would be very virtuous, very strong, and give protection to all in Braja. So he, his anxiety became somewhat relieved. Still there were no children, as he was concerned, Nanda Maharaj was also concerned, and along with his wife, Yashoda, the royal family moved to this area, Gokul Mahavan. In general, we said they went to Gokul. And we were just by the side of the Damodar Leela, up on the hill, is the palace of Nanda Maharaj. But this whole area was childhood pastime places. So meanwhile, in Mathura, Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa, which we will visit before we leave, six children were born and then killed by Kamsa. The seventh child, Balaram, was under Krishna's instruction to his internal potency, Yogamaya. That seventh child was transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, who was in the care of Nanda Maharaj. That was an arrangement of Vasudeva, his dear friend, so that the child born of Rohini would be safe. So Balaram was born, and then the eighth child of Devaki and Vasudeva appeared simultaneously, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yashoda gave birth to twins. You can read about this in the addendum to chapter 3, I believe, of Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10. Two children were born, a child that was a girl, and that was the Yogamaya potency. So Yogamaya potency, under Krishna's order, took her birth. But also, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna appeared. So when Vasudeva came into the home of Nanda and Yashoda, the form of Krishna that he was carrying in his arms, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, merged with the male child that was by the side of Yashoda, and he then took the female child back to the prison house of Kamsa. Kamsa tried to kill the child, of course could not kill the child because that's his, Krishna's own potency. And then this voice of Durga informed Kamsa that the child who, we heard this from Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava early this morning, that very same child who in your previous birth with the Sudarsan Chakra cut off your head in battle, when you were known as Kalanemi, that very same personality who is the source of the entire cosmic manifestation, that very same personality who is very affectionate to his devotees and fulfills all the desires of his devotees, that very same personality has already taken his birth. So hearing these words of Durga, Kamsa began making his arrangements for killing Krishna. From Mathura, he sent the first demon. So we're going to just narrate events that took place in the early part of Krishna's life. According to the Bhagavatam, when Krishna was just 3 or 4 days old, Putana, the witch, was sent to go kill Krishna. And Prabhupada explains that it was by the internal potency that Putana was able to find Krishna, because otherwise not possible. It was to facilitate a pastime of Krishna. But Putana had many mystic powers. She was very, very powerful. And one of those powers was she could transform herself into other forms than her witch-like form. So she transformed herself into a very beautiful, charmingly beautiful woman. It's described that in Vedic homes, the women would stay in the inner part of the house and the men would stay in the outer part of the house, and there wasn't any mixing. It wasn't that men could freely move in and out, and the women could freely move in and out. I don't know if you know this, but Prabhupada designed the guest house of Krishna Balaram Mandir in a similar fashion, where all the guests stay in the Krishna Balaram Mandir guest house. That's the outer area. But maybe you didn't know, but there's also an inner area. The building is kind of circular, and there's an inner area that was intended where women could stay, because then they would be safe and protected. In any case, that's how Nanda Maharaja's house was set up. But Yashodaha was very happy to receive. In fact, Putana was so beautiful and decorated so gorgeously that no one even questioned. She went right through the men's area, into the women's area, into where Yashoda was resting, and Krishna was lying in his baby crib. And she was given access directly to see Krishna. So here she is, seeing Krishna. But she wasn't qualified to recognize who was Krishna. But she had some special affection. Seeing the beauty of Krishna, she thought, for a flash at least, what a beautiful child. She had motherly affection. That much. Flash. Motherly affection for Krishna. And when Krishna saw Putana, the Bhagavatam describes that Krishna closed his eyes. And our acharyas give different explanations of why Krishna closed his eyes. One of the explanations is that Putana was such a wicked demon, Krishna didn't even want to see her. So he closed his eyes. And another explanation is that this was the first demon that Krishna was to kill in his leela, and it was a woman. And the Vedic code is you don't kill women. But because she was such a wicked personality, Krishna had to kill her, so he closed his eyes. Another explanation. And as she approached Krishna, the Bhagavatam describes that she was like, the scene was like a very sharp sword within a very decorative sheath. So swords are sometimes stored inside a sleeve or something that protects the sword. So similarly, as beautifully as she was outside, inside, her mood was very demoniac, like death, like a sword. And although she was nicely decorated, her intention of killing Krishna was like a serpent decorating around her neck. And she had smeared on her breast enough poison to kill 10,000 men. That much potency. But Krishna knew, because he's omniscient. And so he accepted the breastly nipple of Putana, and along with taking the breast of Putana, he sucked out her life air. And as Krishna was sucking out her life air, her beauty as a witch started to change. She was losing her power. And her body became disfigured and witch-like and bigger and bigger. And she started screaming, "Let go of me! Let go of me!" And she ran out of the house screaming, "Let go of me!" Here's the child, those of you that have seen little baby, like the hands of a little baby child that are 3 or 4 days old, it's so tiny. So although it's very tiny little delicate fingers, squeezing very hard on the breast of Putana, the power of the personality of God is behind those little tiny fingers. And she was screaming and screaming and screaming, "Let go of me! Let go of me!" And her body got bigger and bigger and bigger. And when she finally fell down to the ground dead because her life air had been pulled out by Krishna, her body was 12 miles long. Giant putana. And the residents of Vrindavan saw this giant body lying on the ground, and they were so afraid, they didn't know what had happened. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And when they realized Krishna was playing up on top of her body, they were amazed. The description in the Bhagavatam is very poetic, using metaphor. Her teeth were like fangs. Here's what the Bhagavatam says. The Rakshasi's mouth was full of teeth, each resembling the front of a plow. Her nostrils were deep like mountain caves, and her breasts resembled big slabs of stone fallen from a hill. Her scattered hair was the color of copper. The sockets of her eyes appeared like deep, blind wells. Her fearful thighs resembled the banks of a river. Her arms, legs, and feet resembled big bridges. And her abdomen appeared like a dried-up lake. It would be really nice if somebody could hold that bell and ask them to not ring it while we're having our katha. That would be really, really nice. Really nice. So, the Rakshasi was screaming very loudly in this huge body and came crashing down on the ground, and all the trees in all directions were broken. So the elder gopis, they came running to see what had happened. Where is Krishna? And they saw Krishna up on top of the body of Putana. So Mother Yashoda personally went up on top of the body of Putana, took Krishna down, immediately called for the brahmanas to perform puja and say special mantras, as she, holding Krishna on her feet, personally performed abhishek of Krishna to bathe him and sanctify him with sacred water of the river Jamuna and mantra, and invoking the auspiciousness of all of her worship of Lord Narayan to keep her darling Krishna safe. This was how Mother Yashoda was thinking. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj had gone to Mathura to pay his taxes to King Kamsa. So while Nanda Maharaj was there, he heard from his dear friend Vasudev, there may be some difficulty. Kamsa knows that Krishna has appeared, so you better get back to your home as quickly as possible, because Krishna may be in difficulty. So taking the advice of his friend, he hurried back to Vrindavan, and when he reached Vrindavan, he was amazed and saw this giant 12-foot witch lying dead right in the middle of the road, and trees knocked in all directions. So he is the king of the cowherds. He had to do something. So he arranged that the body of Putana would be burned. So they got their instruments and started chopping up the body of Putana and put the parts of the body of Putana in a fire. And as the parts of the body were burning flesh doesn't smell good, but the body of Putana smelled like a special fragrance of aguru scent. Because of the touch of Krishna upon her body, she had become purified. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it is said, when Putana died, a Vaikuntha Vimana descended over her body, and she ascended to the Vaikuntha Vimana, and the Vaikuntha Vimana took her back home, back to Godhead. In Srimad Bhagavatam, when Uddhava is describing to Maitreya, Uddhava is describing to Vidura the qualities of Krishna, and he began by saying, there can't possibly be a person more worthy of our worship than Krishna. Just see, even this demoness Putana who came to kill Krishna, because there was some motherly affection, she came as a mother to feed Krishna. Krishna accepted that service from Putana, purified her from all of her sinfulness of being a witch that would feast on the bodies of small children. That was her specialty. She was really good at it. Demoness. Krishna liberated her from all of those sinful reactions and gave her a position in the spiritual world as one of the assistants of Mother Yashoda, eternally, in her spiritual form. Can there possibly be a better master than Krishna to serve? So this pastime of Krishna killing the Putana demon, it took place in the same place where we were, near the Damodar Leela place. And according to Bhaktivinod Thakur, Putana represents those who bear false spiritual teachings. Commonly in this world today, people are hardly at all interested in spiritual life. And of those that are interested in spiritual life, it's some kind of material benefit that they'll receive. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, that for the most part, people see the purpose of the Vedas is to gain material prosperity in this life and attain a heavenly position after this life. Not only Krishna says it, it's true. I've experimented with public audiences that I don't know, and rather than the detail because of the time, I just to get acquainted with the audience, I've begun with the following question. How many of you would agree, this is not a devotee audience, this isn't the other kind, just people, new people audience, how many would you agree that the following is a true statement? And wait till I finish before you raise your hand. The purpose of religion is to act piously according to the codes of religion, theistic conduct, in this life, and by so doing, you'll get pious credits, and by those pious credits, you will prosper in this life, and after this life, you'll go to the heavenly regions where you'll prosper even more. How many would agree that that's the purpose of religion? And everybody raises their hand. I mean, all kinds of different audiences, and people all raise their hand. That's the purpose of religion. That's not the purpose of religion. It's what Bhagavatam describes as Kaitava Dharma, or cheating religion, to stay in a cycle of birth and death in material existence. That out of those who consider spirituality, there's some who look one step beyond, and their interest is liberation, or some type of impersonal conception. By impersonal conception, just to keep it very simple, it means there's no Krishna in the picture. There's understandings of the implication of fruitive activity, material desire, keeping one in a suffering position in this material world, birth after birth. The cycle of birth and death continuing in a miserable circumstance because of pursuing material desire. That's a kind of spiritual teaching that is not at all uncommon in this world. It's quite common. Not so many people want that one. most people want the material elevation one. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, both the material elevation one and the impersonal one are both false teachings, that is to say, robbing the soul from the real opportunity that one may have in the human form of life, and that is to connect again with the personal existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to be situated in His eternal service. So Krishna, by killing the Putana demon, was demonstrating that if we are sincere, and it's an important if we are sincere to connect with our eternal position of eternal loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna will protect us. I would venture to guess that every one of us, myself included, had some encounter with some kind of impersonal teaching before we came to Krishna consciousness. I think it's safe to say, both the elevation kind and the impersonal kind. And we would all have our different story to tell. But Krishna protected us because of some sincere desire, something deep inside that told us we actually have an eternal relationship of love with a supreme loving person. And that aspiration, that sincere desire to connect again with Krishna, Krishna protected us. Which is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches. This killing, Krishna's killing of Putana is like that. Krishna removing the false teachings and the false teachers to give us His actual shelter. And such person, Putana, Krishna gave a position in the spiritual world as an eternal assistant of Mother Yashoda. How fortunate was Putana. Not so fortunate, perhaps, of other teachers of impersonal ideas. The second demon that Krishna encountered was when he was 3 months old. In Vrindavan, whenever there's a little event surrounding Krishna's activity, it's time for a festival. So this particular event was Krishna, instead of just crawling, he arched his back when crawling. Oh, let's have a festival. Let's invite all of our friends and serve prasadam and worship Lord Narayan. So at the house of Nanda, in their courtyard, they had a big festival. And as they were conducting the festival, Krishna fell asleep. And when Krishna fell asleep, Mother Yashoda placed Krishna in a safe place, at least she thought it was a safe place, underneath a big cart. Now, in the West, we don't store things on carts. We go to storage houses. And you pay some money and you put things in a place to lock up where you have extra stuff. And maybe sometimes in your backyard you have a little storage shed or something like that. That's what we do in the West. But in Braja, they just had an old bullock cart, big heavy cart. They would put big pots and big pans and big heavy things and put it on the cart, just leave it in the back. It was one of those. Heavy utensils on a heavy bullock cart. Little baby Krishna, 3 months old. He knew that there was a demon in a subtle form wishing to kill him. Krishna knew because he's omniscient. So with this little 3 month old, think of a child 3 months old, he lifted his leg and kicked his leg on the axle of the wheel and the whole thing exploded. The wheels went flying, all the utensils went flying, the cart went flying, and the cart crashed on Shakatasura and killed him. How is it possible? Even Krishna's feet don't normally reach the axle of a cart, a little child at 3 months old, lying on his back, wiggling his legs. But Krishna's, not only his legs reached, but with such force the whole cart exploded. Krishna was exhibiting his divinity even in the tiny childlike form of 3 months old. Again, Mother Yashoda, they heard this big clamor and they came rushing. Oh, what happened? What happened? And they began worshipping Lord Narayan for the protection of their little child, Krishna. Then a little while longer, not much longer, say 4 months after Krishna was born, the Trinavarta demon was another demon sent by Krishna to kill Krishna. And Mother Yashoda was holding Krishna in her lap. So Krishna knew that Trinavarta was coming, so Krishna exhibited one of his mystic powers. There are 8 essential mystic powers. One of them is Mahima. He became heavier than the heaviest. He can become lighter than the lightest, or he can become heavier than the heaviest. And he became so heavy in Mother Yashoda's lap that she set him down. And she was very disturbed. Why has he become so heavy? As she set Krishna down, Trinavarta came as a whirlwind demon. And dust, a big, big dust storm was all over Vraja. So much so one could not see what was going on. And Trinavarta picked up Krishna and placed him in his arms and started carrying him into the sky. Krishna put his arms around Trinavarta's neck, and he was having a nice ride going up into the sky. But as he was getting higher and higher, Krishna started getting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. And he tried to break Krishna's arms free so he could get free. But Krishna is all powerful. Finally, he lost all of his strength and he came crashing down from very high in the sky and smashed his body on a stone slab. And like with Putana, they came running. Krishna! And saw Krishna playing on the body of Trinavarta. This Shakatasura demon indicates the tendency of us, or conditioned souls in general, to carry heavy loads. One of those heavy loads is all the dirty things in our heart. Another heavy load is the tendency to work hard like a donkey that has to carry a heavy load, work very hard in order to maintain ourselves. Krishna very kindly relieves us of those fruitive tendencies and the impurities of our heart as he destroyed Shakatasura. And Krishna's killing of Trinavarta, similarly, he's protecting. In his Braja Leela, Krishna is demonstrating his willingness to give protection to all of his devotees from the obstacles that we may meet in our devotional service. Krishna is all-powerful, Krishna is very kind, and Krishna is very loving. And these wonderful pastimes in Gokul became so numerous, so many demons were appearing in Gokul. Finally one day, Nanda Maharaj decided, too many demons, let's leave Gokul, go back to Vrindavan, the other side of the river Jamuna. And when we visit Nandagaon, we'll hear some more about those movements of Krishna from Gokul. Back on the other side of the river Jamuna, in different places, and again, residing in Nandagaon, which we'll visit later on. So, it's already starting to get a little bit on the dark side. We're going to go one more place, and then back to the temple. One more place is Brahmandagat, and that's another very wonderful pastime that has an important message for us. When Krishna opened his mouth so Mother Yashoda could see if he had eaten dirt. we'll find out what happened. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Gaur Premanand ki jai.